it is the funniest dream, because in his dream, he saw everything change. He saw automobiles that he never saw before in his life. They were the funniest things, because all he saw then was just Model T's. As when he was a young boy, Ledbetter. He's up in years now. But that was many, 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 many years ago. But God showed him a dream that he'd be called to the ministry. He'd go to Duncan. He'd be pastoring. And while he was there, he went up and down the streets in his dream, and he saw women wearing shorts. He saw them with painted faces, which he'd never seen. He saw women smoking cigarettes, and he had never seen that. He saw things that he had never seen before. He saw new model cars that he says he sees right now. Those cars riding, going down the street. He saw inventions that we have now, and God showed him and gave him a replay of everything that's happening. And while he pastored, and by the way, he's pastoring tonight there, while he pastored there in Duncan, in his dream, a year before God even saved him and called him there, the rapture took place and the saints of God left. He said, while I pastored in my dream, I saw people and have never forgot their faces. I've got men that for years have been by my side, and there are men that I saw in my dream, and I recognized them when I went there to take that pastorate, and he said they were gone in the rapture. He said there were a few that were hanging on the outskirts. They wasn't praying. They were critical. They were having things in their life. They were not selling out and going all the way with God. And he said, he told me this just the other day when he's here. He said, Brother Hibbard, before Almighty God, I have that same condition now. I have a group of people that I saw in my dream. They're on fire for God. They're ready to go. And he said, when the rapture took place, I'll never forget it. He said, people were stirred. And I saw the moon turn as red as blood. And as I saw that moon, you know, Jesus told about a moon turning red blood. And then shall they see the sign of the Lord coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And he said, I saw it, and I saw people screaming, and I saw people shooting up. I saw like that. I saw leaving automobiles and going up, and I looked around, me a sinner. Now I'm having a dream, and I'm seeing all this. And he said, they're going up one by one. And I thought to myself, oh Lord, I'm the pastor. And in his dream now, he said, Lord, I'm the pastor. And he was going up an incline, and he could see that moon just as red as it could be. But all at once, while the others were going up, there was a bright cloud. And they were going up to that cloud. And he looked and he said, Lord, that's your coming. And Lord, don't leave me out of it. And just about that time, there was something that started at his toes, kind of like, and it just a tingling went through his body. And as it came up, all at once he found himself in a beautiful robe. And he found himself lifting slowly, and then whoosh, he went up. And he saw people coming from every direction. He saw the sound of the trumpets, and he saw the Lord in all of his glory, and he met the Lord in the air, and they went back into glory, just like the Lord said, he shall carry them back, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. We're not going to leave him no more. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And he said, I went back, and he said, when we got into heaven, he said, the Lord spoke to me, and he said to him, he said, Ledbetter, I'm going to take you back and show you what's happening on the earth. I'm talking to people that's fooling around, and if you're not getting to the front and serving God like you should, brother, I'm going to tell you, God Almighty, and everything I'm saying, I had no more intention of saying it than you had of saying it. This is what God laid on my heart for right now. Now listen to this. Here he's a man who hasn't given his heart to God yet, but God knew that he was going to surrender. God knew he was going to go to Duncan. God knew he was going to pastor those churches. And don't you think God can't foresee everything to the detail? And he said, I'm going to take you back, and I want to show you. I want to show you the condition. And he said, I went back to my church, and I came right down through the ceiling. Came right down through the ceiling. And he said, I was like a spirit. I was suspended in mid-air in my church. And I looked around the altar, up on the platform. He said, Brother Hibbert, I've built that church, and it's there now that I was in. The very church, when Jesus came, he told me the last time he was here, said, that church I've got is the church I saw in my dream. Now, he said, I was in the church, and he said, the ones that didn't go in the rapture, I looked down and saw my members praying. He said, the most pitiful sight you ever saw in your life, they had their hands raised, and mothers were there without their babies. There were women there without their husband. They had gone. There were husbands there without their wives. He said, Brother Hibbert, I looked on that platform. They were weeping, and they were praying, and they were agonizing. And they would say, I can't feel anything. God, I can't feel anything. And he said, while I looked as a spirit suspended in air, this is coming from a God-fearing man, Brother Ledbetter, and said, while they were praying, and the whole earth was moved and stirred, but the ones that knew God, they realized they'd been left behind. And he said, while I looked, I saw the devil come in at the front door. And as he walked in, he was great like a giant, and he was tall. And it said, the middle aisle, he just put a foot over here and a foot over here, and he just walked down the aisle straddling it. Now, we know the devil is just an ordinary person when he usually appears like us. But God was showing him the force and the power of Satan. And it said Satan came in with a black shawl or the black cloth, and he had a sneer on his face, thinking, yes, I've got you. I've got you. You've been serving me. You wouldn't pray. I've got you. And said he came slowly, not in a hurry. He knew no one was getting away from him. He came slow. And he said he realized that he was invisible. No one could see him. And yet, he'll tell you that as he hung there, or just stopped, suspended in air, he saw the devil come up to the platform. And he said when he came up, Satan reached out his hand. And the people were having their eyes closed, and they were bent over. But he put out his hand, and he just moved his hand over them. And when it did, he said the whole congregation just fell down and said, oh, God. And it said they had no more strength in them. The power of Satan was so great. When the devil leaves the heavens, when the Holy Ghost is taken out, the Bible tells you in Revelation that God's angel give a shrill trumpet blow, and he said with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil is come down unto you, having power and great wrath. For he knows that he has but a short time. And the word of God said that when he saw he was cast out in the earth, he went to make war with the remnant of the seed of the church. The ones that were backslid, the ones that came and paid their tithe, sit in the church, but they didn't live right. They permitted the flesh to dominate. They permitted themselves to go out in pleasures. They didn't have time for prayer. Watch and pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape. God is doing his best to tell. And my message tonight is this, and I'm going to wind up with it. It won't take me but 3 minutes by the clock. Watch it. And when I tell you, I want you to call Sis Tabor tonight, and I'll give you the number, some of you, and tell her that I preached, and I'm getting ready to preach now. But here's my message. And then we're going to have him give us that trumpet number. Then I want these boys, Harold, I want you to get your saxophone. I want you to get your saxophones, your trombones, and I want them to go back there, and I want them to play. If you can get that drum back there, do that. I want us to have some music back there, and I want us to go back, and I want us to pray. Brother, there's going to be a time you won't pray. And it's going to be right away you'll want to pray. Now listen, that's not a myth. When he woke up, he realized he'd had the dream. And everything happened exactly a year and a half later. He surrendered, gave his heart to God, and is filled with the Holy Ghost. Now listen to Brother Hibbert. In the Gospel Lighthouse Church over there is where he was a member. He'd given his heart to God. He was down at my altar, and he's told it many times. He was down at my altar with his wife, and his God said to him, said, "Son, I want you to quit. You're a Dallas Power and Light Company. I want you to turn in your badge, and I want you to go out in the ministry." And he said, "Lord, if this is you and you want me to go in the ministry, Brother Hibbert has never come over and put his hands on us and prayed for us. He just prays up and down. But while I hold my wife's hand, if he'll come over and lay one hand on her and one hand on me and pray for us, I know that's a sign for me to go in the ministry, and I'll go to Duncan where you want me to go." And while he got it out of his mouth, when he said, "I'll go to Duncan where you want me to go," bang, a hand hit him on the head. And he listened, and it was Brother Hibbert. And I said, "Oh God, take this young couple, and Lord, lay your hand upon them and guide them, and let your will be carried out in their life." He was saying inside, "Yes, Lord, I'll go. Yes, Lord, I'll go." And God answered his prayer just like that. That was the man that had the dream. Don't you ever forget it. When Satan is cast down, brother, it's going to be so horrible. You can imagine having butterflies in your stomach. You can imagine your fire burn out and a wreck and all your kids killed and everything near and dear to you, and you're hanging in just the jaws of death yourself. That's nothing. That's not even a little tiny bit compared when you realize the Holy Ghost is gone. Our friends are in heaven. Satan is cast down. The Antichrist is ready to take over. The powers of hell is now controlling this earth. Brother, I'm going to tell you, it's a sad time. But God spoke to me and said, "Tell them just this tonight." And these virgins arose, and they trimmed their lamps. But it was too late. And they tried to go after trim the lamp and get some oil, and they came back and said, "Now, Lord, we're ready. Let us in." That's what a lot of women do. "Your baby's gone, your husband gone. Oh, God, please take me." A nice prayer, but too late. You can pray it tonight. I said, you can pray it tonight, but you can't pray it then. It said they rose and they trimmed the lamp. I never saw this in my ministry till last night when I got up to pray. This morning, 3 to 4, God spoke to me. In that room right there, God appeared to me. Jesus appeared to me. It was about 8 months ago, about four months ago. You've heard me tell it many times. The Lord came to me. I was in there in a dream. I was in there reading my Bible, getting ready to preach on a Sunday morning. And the Lord said, "Go out and tell them to keep the lamp trimmed and burning." How many has heard me tell that? All right. I said, "Lord, I will. I'll go out." He said, "Son, go out quick and tell them to keep the lamp trimmed and burning." You see, just since I read, that's you count my time now. See, that's what's going to count. Because that's all I'm preaching right here now. And so, the third time, he said, "Son, go out now and tell them to keep the lamp trimmed and burning." Well, all my life, I preached it everywhere, but all I won't do is just the lamp's burning, that's all. And God said to me, he said, "Son, you've just talked about half of it. There's two things that I demand, is for the lamp to be trimmed and to be burning. It's as necessity as much an importance for their lamp to be trimmed as it is for their lamp to be burning." I never have commented on that. You never have heard me comment on it, but there it is in the book. Trimmed and burning. They arose and trimmed their lamp. It had gone out. Everybody that knows a thing under heaven about a lamp, you know this. I looked it up to see what the meaning of all of it is, and just like I thought, a lamp is what you burn with oil, coal oil. You have a wick in it. And as long as you've got oil in it, the oil penetrates the wick. And when you light that, immediately the oil comes right up. And as you burn it by the hours, that oil is slowly being burnt. And when you get through, that wick is still right there. It burns oil. It doesn't burn the wick. It burns oil. But in the process of days or overnight, there's times we let the oil grow a little low. And in the hours and hours of burning that wick, you get little charred black things on the top of the wick. All of you know what I'm talking about. And it's something that every mother did by the hundreds of thousands in the early days before electricity. They would automatically, it was a routine every day to shine the chimney and to take and open up that little thing and pull up the wick and then bring it down and take a match and go across the top of it like this and knock off all those black charred parts and then turn it up a little bit more, knock some more off until all the black foreign particles are off. Why? Because if you light it with it on there, the light will go one direction and another direction. It'll smoke and it'll black up. It will not put out the light that it should. And especially when the thing goes out of oil and they were asleep, what happens? The oil refuses to come up. It's already lit. It's burning. But when the oil doesn't come up no more, then it starts burning the wick. There's nothing else for it to do but to burn the wick because the oil has gone low and you're out of oil. So the wick is burned. So when they got up, immediately they realized the lamp had gone out. Like a second, they knew one thing, that fire burns that cloth just like it would paper. And when the oil refused to come up, it kept burning the wick, and they knew. Now, the reason it don't burn the whole wick up, because it's down in a little tight channel, and you have to turn that little thing to bring it up. But the wick that is up there, it burns down as low as it can, but it gets way down in there and can't get no oxygen, so it finally goes out. You still got a lot of wick. So whenever your lamp goes out because of the lack of oil, you have to turn it up, and you've got a big stack of black charred stuff there that needs to be trimmed off. And God said, tell them to keep their lamp trimmed and burning. What is that trimming, brother? That's letting foreign particles accumulate on your light and keeping it from shining like it ought to. And God said, when I come and blow the trumpet, I don't want any foreign particles on my people's life. I want them to shine as sons of God. And what we're going to do tonight after he plays this trumpet number is to have you stand. And I want every last one of to take time to go back there and kneel and get a hold to God and say, God, I want you to not only trim my lamp, but I want you to fill my lamp, and I want you to refill me with the Holy Spirit. And we want to see a revival come to our schools, to our churches, to our city, to businessmen. Here's a businessman sitting right there, got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and he just made up his mind to take his office and dedicate it, turn it over to God and have a prayer meeting. And now they come way across town at noontime to join him in the time of studying the Word of God and reading. Brother, you can have a revival anywhere you want to. He's a businessman, but yet they look to him as a shepherd, as a spiritual leader. It's come the time that we need to affect those that are round about us. And check your time now, I'm through. And we're going to have him play the trumpet. Call Sister Hibbert after all, it'll make her feel good. And said he didn't. I'm not telling how much I said before that, because that was just talking. But that about the trimming the lamp, that's a mess. How many believe that's a sermon? Oh, how many's got that old I'm not going to preach no more. But how many believe that old charred stuff needs to come off? And the only way it'll get off is by you taking a hold of God and saying, God, brush it off. Trim my lamp. That young fellow, 16 years old, Wednesday night, he came to me and said, Brother Hibbert, I didn't get the Holy Ghost, and I haven't spoken in tongues. And he said, I haven't got it yet. I said, you go back. I'll get someone to pray with you in a few minutes. That old boy came through shouting, happy, talking in tongues and magnifying God. He said, I'm ready to go home now. Thank God I know he came in. You know, that's when you get the Holy Ghost, is when you make up your mind. Now, tonight, if you want the Holy Ghost, you go back here, and we've got a whole big bunch of altars in the middle and over on the side. Instead of kneeling, I want you to just sit on those altars there in the middle. And just sit there. And that's automatic for anybody that has the Holy Ghost to come up alongside and start praying. And I'm going to come back there and pray. And if there's anyone here that wants prayer for your body, when I lay my hand on you, you can expect to get healed. God said He didn't tell me to heal. He said, lay hands on the sick. And thank God that's what God does. And I want you, if you want healing for your body, when I come by, just reach up and say, Brother Everett, I want you to pray for me. I'll lay my hands on you. And I want the orchestra now. I want the boys that can. I want you to get up and go right in that prayer room. Find your place that you can start playing. And for a few minutes, let's raise our hearts to God. And let's begin to take and say, Lord, check my lamp and my wick. And it said, trimmed and burning. And Lord, I want to trim it. I want to get any foreign particle. And you'd be surprised. You say, Lord, what is foreign particles? He may tell you. Little old things, friend, that keep the light from shining like it ought to. And I want everyone in the audience and the balcony, everyone to stand. If you're unsaved and you want Jesus Christ, the greatest place on the face of the earth to find the Lord is go right through these arches and kneel, raise your hand, and there'll be someone right by your side. God can save you and give you that wonderful experience. Will you do it? I'd like for everyone, you don't have to be a member of this church, feel free to come right in our prayer room, and let's go in and kneel and take hold of God and really pray. Come on, let's pack that thing out. As they get ready to play, they're going to be playing some good numbers back there, and I want you to go in, open our heart, and let's pray right out tonight. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let him breathe on me. Thank you.